Hey, it's good to see everybody this afternoon. Glad you are with us. We said this morning that we have a lot of folks visiting with us because of events down the street this weekend, and that's the case tonight as well. And so if you're visiting because of Falcon Days down at the school, we are delighted to have you with us tonight. We hope you can come be with us again in the future, and we hope we'll have an opportunity in the future to interact with your young people if they come to our community to study. A couple of things I want to mention to you tonight before we really get where we are going. There was a note in the family report this morning that they're taking member pictures today, and so if you're new to our church family and haven't had a picture taken for the picture board or the online directory, or if you've had an addition to your family, a change in your family, or if you just don't like the picture you have, it'd be a good time to get that taken care of. You can do that tonight. It'll take just a couple of minutes. It's very quick. It's painless, and that will be help us with that. I want to remind you that 2 weeks from today, we have Invite a Friend. And so I know a ton of you took some of the cards, the invitation cards this morning. There are plenty of them out there. We want to make that a very special day. That's Sunday morning, April the 14th. And so we want you to be thinking about that and praying about that and inviting people to be a part of that. And then also the day before that is the fifth annual Ladies' Day. And there was a note in the family report this morning. If you're going to be a part of that, and if you're going to go across the street to the Harbaughs for lunch, you need to sign up so that they can arrange for seating and know how much to prepare for. And sign-up sheets in the hallway in the back. And so we'll ask you to take care of that. It's great to see all of you tonight. You know, we had some of the new babies that were born a couple of weeks ago that have been with us, and the grandbabies with us tonight, and just wonderful. I tell you, that's an exciting time for these young families and for our church family. Really appreciated Jonathan's really excellent sermons last Sunday. So I get home from Texas on Thursday, and Vicki and I are driving along on Friday, and she said, are you preaching she said, which service are you preaching on Sunday? That's it. Yeah, when are you preaching on? I said, well, I'm preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night. And she said, why isn't Jonathan preaching? And I said, well, you know, I was gone last Sunday, and I'm going to be gone next Sunday again, so I'm going to preach both times this Sunday. And here's what she said. Oh. Just like that. Just like I ran over a puppy or something. Oh. But then it was all better because she said, oh, I forgot you were leaving next week. Yay! And so, you know, this is my life, ladies and gentlemen, for 42 years now. Boy, wedded bliss. So let's talk about being single tonight a little bit. When we sat in our shepherd's meeting, we talked about the theme for our April classes and the Bible classes on Sunday morning. And we talked about till death do us part, and we broke that out into four phases of marriage. The first question that was raised was, what about our single adults? And I said, and it was true, that I had thought about that, and I had wanted to say some things to our single adults, and I want to say those things tonight. Single adults are such an integral part of any congregation of God's people, and I'm really grateful that more and more churches in our fellowship and churches of Christ are paying more and more attention to this segment of their church families. Just two or three years ago, I was invited by a church in Dallas to spend a weekend with them on Friday night and then all day Saturday in multiple sessions. And they invited single adults from all over the Metroplex to come, and I was asked to speak to them about a variety of topics that have to do with that. And we had just tons and tons and tons of single adults from the Metroplex who were there. And it was a wonderful experience. The conversations were fascinating, and they shaped in some part a couple of things that I want to say tonight. Single is an interesting word in our vocabulary. If you go to Steak and Shake, that's one patty on a hamburger. And if you're in baseball season now, that's a single is a base. It's a base hit. And in the recording industry, it's one song on a track. But in life, when we talk about somebody who is single, typically what we are saying is that somebody, because of either age or circumstance or choice, is not married. Now, the relevance of that is pretty clearly seen easily in America, because in America, we have 109 million singles, defining single as an American that is 18 years of age or older, who is either never married or is divorced or widowed. We have more single adults in America than any nation on earth, with the exception of China in India. And so that becomes a very relevant subject, obviously. Now, a couple of preliminary observations real quickly here before we get started. The first and most obvious is that the one who's talking tonight about single adults is married. And that doesn't escape my notice either. And the fact of the matter is that I didn't have much time in my life as a single adult. I got married when I was almost 20. And I say almost 20 because that sounds so much better than saying I was only 19. But I was only 19 years old when I got married. I couldn't understand why my mom and dad had some concerns about that. I understand that now. But it's not lost on me. I'm not unaware of the incongruity of that. And secondly, it's difficult to define who kind of fits under that umbrella of singleness. I mean, technically, if you think about it, our youngest members, the three new babies that were born 2 weeks ago, and our oldest member, Hazel Wood, they're all single. But that's really not what we're talking about, is it? Typically, when we think single, we think 18 to 25-year-olds. And yet what's interesting is that 18 to 25-year-olds very seldom think of themselves as being single. They think of themselves as being, for the most part, students in the not-yet-married category. And so how do you define that? Well, there are a lot of different people who fit under that umbrella. The fact is that some are single by circumstance. There are those, for example, who would like to be married, but for one reason or another, they just aren't yet. Now, maybe the right person hasn't asked them, or they haven't found the right person, and so they just aren't yet. And there are those who are single because of divorce, and there are those who are single because their spouse has died. Well, if you think about it, every married person in this audience, half of the married people in this audience, at some point in time in their life, will be single again. Unless there's some kind of tragic accident and both husband and wife are killed at the same time, that would mean that half of the married people in this audience at some point in time will be single again. And so some are single by circumstance. And then some are single by choice. And there's just nothing wrong with that either. Some are single by choice. And by that I mean that they could be married if they want to, but for whatever reason, they have chosen to remain single in their adult life. For some people, it just suits their lifestyle better. I have a very good friend in California. He easily could have been married multiple times in his life, but he has chosen to live a single life because it suits his personality and the way that he wants to live best. Some people are single because they have a family obligation. I have a friend, a preacher friend in Italy, and his father died when he was fairly young, and so he made a commitment to himself. He made a vow to God that he would not marry as long as his mother was alive, that he would devote himself to giving her care. And he has kept that vow. He has kept that vow. Sometimes individuals are single because they want to finish their education, or they finish their education. They just want to live and do some things in life before they are married. Matthew 19:12, Jesus talked about the fact that sometimes there are people who are single and they've chosen that for the sake of the kingdom of God. They've chosen to remain single because they believe that there's a certain special time in their life that they could serve God better as a single person than a married person. Now, if you want an example of that, just think about the Apostle Paul. Paul said, look, I have a right to have a wife. He said, I have every right to have a wife. But when you think about it, being a single man allowed Paul to travel, to accomplish many things that he might not have been able to had he been married. There's so many aspects of this. There's so many different dimensions of this subject that we could address. And so let me just tell you that tonight what I want to do very quickly, and this will not take very long, I don't think, I want to address two significant challenges and three significant principles. Now, maybe you're married, and most people in this audience would be, but maybe you're married and you're thinking, well, this doesn't have anything to do with me. No, it does have something to do with you. I need you to listen carefully tonight. Because every single adult who's been in a single adult for a while will tell you that the attitudes and the words and the activities and the inactivity sometimes of married people affects them, and not always in the best way. And so I would like to ask you, if you're married tonight, to listen carefully. When I was in that weekend in the Metroplex in Dallas, in Texas, I had occasion to talk to a large group of single adults, and we talked about a variety of things, and I got to ask them some questions, and I asked them, tell me some of the greatest challenges you face as a single adult. And some of them were things that you might just naturally think. They talked about some of the physical challenges. That is, they talked about trying to deal with the sexual desires that God's given every adult. And they talked about loneliness to some degree. But they also talked about a couple of challenges that they said can sneak up on you, that you don't really think about, that you sometimes don't anticipate. And they talked about two things. Let me talk about them with you for just a minute, and then we'll get to the principles, and then the lesson will be yours. The first one was the temptation to put life on hold. The temptation to put their life on hold, thinking that everything in life would change once they got married. It's easy to push the pause button on life. I think we all do that from time to time. I think sometimes it's like going into a mall, and you look at that directory, and it's got the map of the mall, and there's a big X there, and it says, you are here. But you know, the only reason you're looking at that map, and the only reason you want to know where you are is because that's not where you want to be. You're looking at that because you want to be somewhere else. And it's easy sometimes to feel that way. And I will tell you, that's not just single adults. I think that Satan does that to all of us. That he tries to steal our joy by making us discontented with where we are right now. And maybe you're in that circumstance tonight. Maybe you're in school and you can't wait to get out. So you don't enjoy school. You don't enjoy this wonderful time in your life because you're focused more on the time when you get out. Or maybe you're in a job and you're working at a place and you just can't wait until you're working another place. And so it ruins every day because all you're thinking about is the time you're somewhere else. Now, it can happen to you as a single adult. I know you can be so focused on waiting for a mate that you lose sight of today. But you know, whether you're married or single, the principle is that to focus solely on the future will make you miss the present. It doesn't matter if you're married or single. That's absolutely true. I mean, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but when I'm always focused on tomorrow, it makes me miss the good things that are happening in my life today. It prevents me growing in my personal life as I should. And it causes me to overlook areas in my life that I need to be working on right now because I'm looking at tomorrow instead of seeing really where I am today and what needs to be addressed in my life today. I wonder how many single adults have thought, you know what, when I get married, then I'm really going to plug into church and get involved. Or then I'll clean up my life. I know I've got these places in my life that I need to do better and clean up a little bit. And when I find somebody, that's when I'll do that. Or maybe I'll really start taking care of myself then. Everybody who's a single adult needs to remember that for every single person wishing they were married, there is a married person wishing they were single. Vicki, you're not supposed to be nodding up and down. Don't do that. That's just wrong in so many ways. In the premarital classes that I do with couples who are just about to marry, I always show them a quote from Dr. Clyde Naramore that says this, quote, success in life consists not so much in marrying the one person who can make you happy as escaping the many people who can make you absolutely miserable. There's a lot of truth in that. There's an awful lot of truth in that. It is axiomatic that you would rather be single wishing you were married than married wishing you were single. And so it's important. It's just important not to live your life in limbo. Sometimes it's the other way. It's not an unhealthy preoccupation with the future. It sometimes goes in the other direction, and it's an unhealthy preoccupation with the past. And I'll tell you, the devil does that to all of us, again, whether you're married or single. But you talk to single adults long enough, and sometimes you're going to hear words like rejection and hurt. Maybe that was somebody that you dated, or maybe it was somebody to whom you were married, and in either case, they promised you devotion, and instead they delivered lies and failure. And maybe they broke your trust, maybe they broke your heart. And as a result of that, maybe you feel like they owe you something, an apology, an explanation, a marriage, a lifetime. See, it's tempting for all of us to live in the past because we've all, married or single, we've all got hurts in our past. It happens to married people when they have hurts in the past years of their married life. If you're tempted to be unduly focused on the future or the past, the way of escape for that clearly is to appreciate and live in the present. That's exactly what God calls us to do. Now, I know, by the way, before you say this to yourself, I know there's a context in Psalm 118. I know that. And I know that the context, the primary future context has to do with Jesus. I know that. But like all of those prophecies, there was an immediate context. This is their lives, and it's our lives. And this is the day the Lord has made. And so I've got to rejoice and be glad in this day. My circumstances may not be everything that I want them to be this day, but I've got to try to find the good in this day. And so read to you a moment ago was Paul in Philippians 4. And as a single adult, Paul said, you know what? I've learned in whatever condition, whatever circumstance I'm in, to be content. And part of that contentment, I think, had to be with his singleness. He just refused to put life on hold. But the other challenge was putting self at the center. That it's easy if you're not careful, because you don't have to share, to make life kind of all about you. Now that's a temptation whether you're married or single again. I mean, this goes for most of us. That this is a challenge. All of us deal with this. Married or single, we all deal with selfishness. My friend D. Bowman is very fond of saying, I've heard him say this many, many times in sermons. I've heard D. say many times that selfishness is at the heart of every sin. That is what our adversary, the devil, uses to try to bring us all down, to get us focused on ourself. Married or single, it doesn't matter. But of course, what these single adults were sharing with me was that they had come to realize that because they don't live with someone else, they really don't have to learn to share. And they don't have to compromise on decisions. And they can spend their money and their time and their attention, their energy on themselves. And they said they had learned that they had to watch out for that. It was easy to become a bit self-absorbed. And with that can lead to that isolation and loneliness that often comes. Now, and by the way, when we mention that, we're not talking about solitude that everybody needs. Everybody needs solitude on occasion. But an isolation that leads to loneliness, which can lead to some very bad thoughts and some very bad behaviors. The way of escape, by the way, for all of that, of course, is relationship with God and relationship with others, because God created us for community. Married, single, it doesn't matter. God created us for community. I used to say in a sermon that I would preach in gospel meetings that Barbara Streisand once sang, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. And I always made the point, she was wrong about that. She was wrong about lots and lots of things, but she was wrong about that. Because people who need people are the only kind of people God created. God created us for community. Now, you can be alone in a marriage as well. But whether you're married or single, God created us all for community. But let me also say about that for single adults. Even though we were created for community, that doesn't mean that everybody will marry, and it doesn't mean that everybody will marry again. That's not what that means. It just means that we don't insulate and we don't isolate. And I want to say just a word here. I want to tell you that our single adults in this church, both young and old single adults, I think are absolutely exceptional in continuing to have, maintain, build relationships, even though they're not married. And I said a moment ago that for those of us who are married, half of the married people in this audience will one day be single again. And for those who are in that circumstance, because we have many adults in our congregation who are single because they are widowed, and we have several who are single because they are divorced. And again, I think they are absolutely exceptional at continuing to build and maintain relationships with others, even though they are not married. To me, one of the most comforting verses in the New Testament was Jesus when he said, look, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children. I got to tell you, that means something to me. I think that probably should mean something to all of us. I'm an orphan. We usually don't think about adults being orphans. I'm an orphan. My mom and dad are dead. But I have mothers and fathers. Even at my age, I have mothers and fathers. I think in some way I am a father to some others that are younger than me. And I've told you before, I have one sibling in the world. I have one brother, and I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he's dead. I don't know anything about him right now. But I have hundreds, if not thousands, of brothers and sisters with whom I've interacted. And I have people in this church, to use the language of the Bible, who are closer to me than a brother. It's a wonderful thing that God has done for us, creating us for community and then giving us in the church a community to have and to love and to help, even when we don't have those physical family ties as we might want. And I would say to every single adult that you need to remember, just like I need to remember as a married person, that those fundamental, quintessential commands that we live out as children of Christ, the commands to love one another, serve one another, honor one another, forgive one another, edify one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, be hospitable to one another, that all of those commands are applicable whether you are married or single. They're equally valid. And so, again, married or single, we can't allow ourselves the luxury of just making everything about us. Let me end tonight with this. Let me give you three significant principles, and we're going to take them from the passage that was read to you just a moment ago. So would you look at the screen with me here, and let's just take a look at these words. And from that, we're going to draw three things real quickly, and then the lesson's yours. Here we go. Paul said, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. There are three phrases in those words that I think are particularly important. The first is any and every situation. Any and every situation. And the point of that is that as children of God, we've got to never let anything stop us from appreciating the circumstance that we are in, married or single. But for single adults in particular, you need to realize, appreciate, this was Paul's situation. He was a single adult. He had a variety of circumstances that he could have reference to. But he said, in any and every situation and circumstance, there were benefits to Paul, as we said a moment ago, to being a single adult. It's not that that would be a state forever. It's not that it might be your state forever. But if that's what God has called you to right now, then in any and every situation, that circumstance, you need to find the good. That's what Paul did. But I want you to notice this phrase, I've learned. And he said it twice. I have learned. And I want to say this very clearly. To be happy and to be content as a married person or as a single adult is a learned response. It is a learned response. It's learning to accept the circumstance. But I would say that for single adult Christians in particular, our culture doesn't always help with that. So if I may go back and reference once again the weekend that I did in the Metroplex, as I was preparing for that, I went down to Brandon and I went to a religious bookstore in Brandon, and I found the section in the religious bookstore for single adults. There were 20 books. There were 20 titles, rather. 20 titles. 17 of the titles dealt with finding and keeping a future spouse. I found that fascinating. Because the message of that is that you can't live a happy, fulfilled life unless you get married. And so this is what it's about, finding and holding on to a spouse. But that isn't what Paul said. Paul said, I've learned in any and every circumstance to be content. And so it's not just culture. Let me also say to the married people in our congregation that we need to be really careful not to communicate to our single adults that their value as a person is tied up in their marital status. Unfortunately, sometimes society and sometimes Christians have more difficulty with a single Christian's being single than they do. You know, Paul said, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. I know a lot of single adults who've accepted that, and they are living extraordinarily productive and happy, content lives. But other people are not as content for them as they are. And so I've learned, Paul said. The one thing that Paul did not do is what we talked about a moment ago. He didn't put his life on hold. He was a busy, busy man. As a single adult man serving God, he was busy. I have a good friend. I have a good friend who lives in another state. And I've known this person for close to 40 years now. And they would be the first to tell you that they really didn't know if they were ever going to get married, because they got married much later in life. And so they really didn't know if they were ever going to get married. But what I appreciated about this individual was, as they were single, they never hit the pause button on life. They got two college degrees. They traveled Europe. They taught their discipline in a major university, and they spearheaded the Bible class program at their local church. And they did all that before they ever got married. Now, they did eventually get married, and they have children, and they have a very interesting life like that. But they lived a wonderful life, a meaningful and productive life, as a single adult. And Paul said, the key in all of this is to remember that you have a relationship, that your life is defined first by your relationship with Christ. Your life is defined first by your relationship with Christ, not by your marital status. Married or single, our ultimate goal is to bring glory to God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Every single adult can glorify God and fulfill their purpose in life just as well as a married person. You know why we were created, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody asked you that. Why were you created? The answer is in the book of Isaiah, when God said, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. We were created by the hand of God to bring him glory. It's interesting that when Jesus was talking about individuals who sometimes could marry and could not marry, in Matthew 19, in that whole passage where he talks about people who were married and divorced and who has a right to do that and who has a right to remarry, he said, you know, there are some individuals who are never going to marry for the kingdom of heaven's sake. For the kingdom of heaven's sake. And what he meant by that was that there will be sometimes individuals who find themselves in a circumstance where they are not free by God to marry. And he said, you need to remain unmarried then for the sake of your soul in the kingdom of God. You have to be careful not to adopt a false premise that fornication or adultery then would be better than obedience to God. I want to end with this tonight. Could I just say something to our single adults? And that, I got to tell you, that covers a wide gamut in this church. You are of far too great value to ever let our adversary the devil have his way with you. Our adversary the devil, first of all, would love for you to settle. He would love for you to settle for second best. He would love for you to settle for the easy way instead of the best way. Sometimes people do that in relationships. Sometimes people settle in relationships. That is, they get so hungry for relational intimacy that they are willing to settle for someone that really is not a good life partner or a match for them at all. Have you ever gone to Publix and shopped for groceries when you're hungry? It's amazing what will end up in your cart. Stuff that under normal circumstances you would never put in that cart at all. And I got to tell you, I have seen a lot of good young Christian men and women date some people who need to be put back on the shelf. Our adversary, the devil, would love for you to settle. And you're too valuable to settle. You're too valuable to ever settle for a relationship that is not the best, and particularly a relationship that is not going to help you go to heaven. And secondly, our adversary would love for you to forget. Our adversary, the devil, would love for you to forget that John the Baptizer, the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ, Mary and Martha were all single adults. None of them were married. And yet, they all served God in an amazing, powerful, meaningful way. And so can you, as a single individual. And so can most of us as married individuals. That's the choice that we make because of our relationship wherein we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for listening so well tonight. Maybe you're in this audience and you're not a Christian. You can do something about that tonight. So here you are on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people in the Lord's worship service. What a better opportunity could ever be provided for you than that. You're surrounded by people who love you and care about you, who will encourage you and help you in every possible way. And so tonight, if you need to be baptized into Christ or you need to come home to your Father, this invitation is for you. Let's stand. Let's sing.